that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we visit Riverfront Playhouse in Reading to talk with directors and actors from the current production, Jack of Diamonds, a comedy about a group of seniors at a retirement home who appropriate a shipment of diamonds, which they use as bait, to get revenge on a con man. We'll also visit the gallery in Chico's A Beautiful Life Furnishings. That's coming up on Weekend Showcase. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
In Reading, the Shasta College Drama Department ends its run of the play A Day in the Death of Joe Egg. This dark comedy plays at the Shasta College Theater tonight and tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and Sunday at 2. Taking the stage at Reading's Cascade Theater tonight, the Glenn Miller Orchestra, known, of course, for classics from the big band era like In the Mood and Moonlight Serenade, this 18-piece ensemble starts swinging at 7:30. Over at Reading's Pilgrim Congregational Church tonight, the Oak Song Society hosts the band Painted Mandolin, featuring Joe Craven, exploring the acoustic side of Jerry Garcia's music with jamming instrumentals and soaring harmonies. The group starts playing at 8 o'clock. Also tonight at Reading's Civic Auditorium, Australia's Vocal Wonders from Down Under, the Ten Tenors present Wish You Were Here, a celebration to legends lost before their time, featuring the music of David Bowie, Prince, John Lennon, Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, and more. This heartfelt tribute begins at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow at the Civic Auditorium, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Bonnie Raitt performs songs from her 20th album, Dig In Deep, in her concert, which begins at 7:30. Orland Art Center's exhibit, The Artist and the Camera, displays images by members of the Tehama County Photo Club. The center's open 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. On the Chico scene, the Blue Room Theater stages The Village Bike, a provocative dark comedy exploring romance and sexual fantasy. This play is for mature audiences only. Performances are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. Chico Theater Company presents 9 to 5, The Musical. This show, based on the 1980s movie, features music and lyrics by Dolly Parton. Curtain times, tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30, with a Sunday matinee at 2. On Sunday, for some post-St. Patrick's Day festivities, Go With Ya comes to CSU Chico's Laxon Auditorium. Lots of lively traditional Irish music begins at 7:30. Tuesday evening, Achilles' Wheel rolls into Sierra Nevada's Big Room with its brand of high-energy rock and Grateful Dead-inspired jams. Catch this Chico favorite starting at 7:30. The Janet Turner Print Museum at CSU Chico features a solo exhibit by the winner of the 11th Turner National Print Competition, Florin Hadigan. Visit the Turner anytime between 11 and 4, Monday through Saturday. At the Chico Art Center, the exhibition Livable Planet. Artists respond to global environmental changes with artwork created in their studios. The center's open noon to 4, Monday through Friday, and 10 to 4 on the weekends. MONCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, features sculptures by Tony Natsoulas, Paul DePasqua, and Michael Stevens in the exhibit What? Us Worry? MONCA, on the Esplanade across from Chico High, is open Thursday through Sunday, 11 to 5. Tonight, the Grass Valley Center for the Arts welcomes the Tea Sisters for a concert ranging from traditional bluegrass to indie Americana. It all begins at 8 o'clock. That's the calendar for this week. Born today, American comedy icon Jerry Lewis. The connection between pathos and broad comedy is very tight, Lewis observed, but you do far more work in a comedy scene than you do in a straight scene. It's much harder.
Frost. I'm at the production of Jack of Diamonds for the Riverfront Playhouse in Reading. We have the co-directors of the show here.
Leon Compton.
Kathy Compton.
Tell me a little bit about Jack of Diamonds, maybe a brief synopsis.
It's a story about a con man who has conned elderly people out of their money. And he goes to court, winds up passing out in court. They take him to the hospital. The hospital gets overrun by people that want to kill him. They have to hide him somewhere. And where do they hide him? In an upscale retirement home where everything begins.
Tell me a little bit about being co-directors of a play.
We tag team everything. It's been a lot of fun. We just bounce off each other ideas. It's been quite an experience.
And you were telling me before we got started that you've been doing this a long time, and this is going to be your last show?
I'm going on 83 years old, so it's time to sit back and watch younger people take over.
Are you going to have a chance to sit back and maybe watch some plays instead of doing them?
We fully intend to do that. Riverfront's a great little community theater, wonderful people. We're anxious to support them.
Okay, well, I appreciate both of you talking to me. I'm looking forward to actually seeing the show here in a little bit, and maybe I get a chance to talk to some of the actors.
I'm Don Tamblyn, and I play Jack Newman. Jack Newman was a jeweler who did a commercial thing on television for his jewelry store, sort of a Crazy Eddie type thing, if anyone from New York remembers Crazy Eddie from the 80s. Low-budget commercials and kind of over-the-top, told corny jokes, and it's kind of crazy.
How do you enjoy playing this part?
I enjoy it a lot. It's been a challenge, but having a great time with it. It's a very funny comedy about people in a retirement home who find out that they've been bilked by a Bernie Madoff-type character, and all their savings have been taken away. By a strange quirk of fate, the man ends up in their retirement home, so they plot revenge against him.
I'm talking to Jennifer Levins. Usually you're the director of the plays that I come to, but you're actually in this play. Tell me who you play.
I play Rose, who's a technophile. She's an interesting person, and she doesn't let anything get by her. She will not let anybody persecute her.
When I talked to the director a minute ago, he told me this is a play about people in their, should we say, older years.
Everything is very current. I mean, we're dealing with financial ruin. We're dealing with scams. We're dealing with starting a business. Like I said, Rose is a technophile. She does all kinds of stuff on her iPad.
How do you enjoy acting instead of directing?
Every once in a while, I have to get on stage and listen to the applause, which means I have to learn these scripts. And the memorization is killer the older you get. But you know what? I'm having a ball in this play. My name is Sandy Terry, and I play Flora Parker, the character in this play that forgets everything. I don't know what's going on half the time, and I'm just in the dark, constantly saying, who's that and what's going on? I said, this is like typecasting, because I typically don't remember a lot of things at home myself, so it kind of fit me perfectly.
Tell me your name and the name of the character that you play.
Reagan, and I play Blanche. Blanche is a narcoleptic, and that's why she's in the retirement home, because she needs a little care. She can't really drive or do things, because when things get too exciting for her, she just passes out.
It seems like this play kind of maybe for older people, but I'm hearing that it might be enjoyable even if you're younger.
You know, I think it is. I think kids would enjoy it. In fact, my girlfriend, when she comes, is going to bring her son, who's about 12. It's kind of wacky, kind of silly. I think they would enjoy that because it's slapstick.
Can you tell me your name and then tell me the name of the character that you play?
Charlie Finkel. I play Alfred Mortimer. Well, Alfred is a germophobic lawyer. Not too much of a stretch for me, actually. I've been a lawyer for the last 40 years.
Does that help you prepare for your part?
Not at all. No, this is a little bit different. This is kind of like overplaying everything. This play's a kind of a comic farce, so everybody is over or amplifying reality to make it funny. Hopefully it's funny.
My name is Bobette Riggs. The character I play is Nurse Harper. She's kind of a witch, like they say, with a capital B. Am I allowed to say that?
Not a Nurse Ratched, I hope.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, but she has her own little quirks. She oversees the retirement home, and she doesn't like it there. She's not very happy. Changing depends, shots. She's just, you know, that's not her thing.
My name is Wade Ricks. I play the character Barney F-Word. Barney F-Word. I know, I don't write this. I just play the character. In the play, I'm the person who swindles all of the people out of their money. I wind up hiding out in the retirement home. The first 20 minutes of the play, I'm sitting in a chair kind of all comatose. Once they figure out who I am, it gets really funny. It's a fun role to play. There's a lot of slapstick to it, which I haven't done in a long time, so it's really funny.
My name is Roger Smith. I play Wilf, an 89-year-old man in the senior home, and I'm leaving and going to another senior home.
What is it that you don't like about this senior home?
It's too expensive for me, and I don't have enough money to continue.
And from what I understand, somebody's trying to swindle all the money out of you if they haven't done it already.
Well, I didn't get involved in the swindle part. I didn't meet Barney in time.
Do you enjoy playing this part?
Yes, this is fun. This is my first time ever acting on stage.
Really? What made you decide you wanted to try your hand at acting?
My dad was in a couple commercials years ago. God bless his soul, he passed. But I've always joked to my wife about maybe trying to do a play or do something, and so I thought I'd try it.
And here you are, and sounds like you're having fun.
Yep, I'm having a good time.
My name's Erin, and I play the cop.
The cop? Does the cop have a name?
No, I am just cop, but I'm the only cop.
So you're the law enforcement of this whole production here?
Yes, I am. So I have to keep all of them in line.
I've been talking to some of them. That sounds like it wouldn't be too easy.
No, it's not. These are a rowdy bunch of folks. I mean, you tend to think, you know, a little bit older generation, calm in the retirement home, but they are up to trouble.
Are you the youngest person in this play?
Yes, I am.
How's that?
It's absolutely amazing. I love working with the cast itself. I've worked with a few of them before. It's absolutely amazing, and I still fit right in with these guys. I got to keep up with them, it feels like.
What's it like to play a police officer? I mean, do you have anything in your background that would prepare you for that?
No, not at all. This is a comedy, so I am playing kind of a funny cop. I'm, you know, not quite sure what's going on in this retirement home, and I make my exit really quick when things start to get a little crazy.
Tell me your name and the role you have in this production.
My name is Brenda Sinclair, and I am the stage manager.
You got your earpiece there and ready to go.
Yep, I let everyone know when it's time to be out on the stage, and in between scenes, if there have to be scene changes, I go out and change the scene. Sometimes I get a little creative, like I have with this play. I am a maid when I go out and change the scenes.
This is just a layman's question. What is the difference between a director and a stage manager?
With Leon, it's kind of cool because he does ask your opinion about things sometimes, other people's opinions, but he's the one that makes the final decisions about everything. He's the boss. His word is final.
I understand this is his last production and he's been doing this for quite a while. What's it like working with him and his wife?
I love working with him, and it remains to be seen if this is his last show.
So, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
Riverfront Playhouse in Reading, the comedy Jack of Diamonds plays Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 and Sundays at 2 through the end of this month.
A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. A kiss may be grand, but it won't pay the rental on your humble flat or help you at the automat. Men grow cold as girls grow old, and we all lose our charms in the end. Square cut or pear shape, these rocks don't lose their shape. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Tiffany's, Cartier, Black Star, Ross Gorham. Talk to me, Harry Winston, tell me all about. Awful nice, but get that ice or else no dice. He's your guy when stocks are high, but beware when they start to descend. It's then that those louses go back to their spouses. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. honey, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. And I think of fairs that you must give with Sonic a bet of bets. If little pets get big baguettes, time rolls on and youth is gone, and you can't straighten up when you bend. But stiff back or stiff knees, you stand straight and stiff knees.
Dolores Mitchell. Today, I'm interviewing Alyssa Woods of A Beautiful Life Furnishings and artist Richard Whitehead. Alyssa, tell us a little bit about the scope of art you represent.
We try to incorporate local artists throughout the showroom. We feature generally one local painter or ceramicist, and we love to have the local artists in and understand their backgrounds and what inspires them. We try to create an environment that shows off beautiful art with furnishings and demystifies the concerns people have about picking the right art or picking the right sofa.
You also provide workshops that teach people how to do art.
We do a faux painting for furniture. That's an ongoing class. We've introduced a vision collage class about creating a vision board, a piece of art, something that you can meditate on that incorporates the things that you want to focus on in your life. It evolves into this wonderful piece of artwork that you can truly be pleased to have on your wall, but it also has such a huge significance for you personally. See us for classes at 250 East 1st Street in downtown Chico. We're across from the U.S. Bank. Open Wednesday through Friday from 11 to 6, Saturdays and Sundays 10 to 4.
Thank you, Alyssa. Today, I'm at A Beautiful Life Furnishings. Let's talk now with Richard Whitehead, the featured artist. Richard, I'm so glad that you have enough space in this huge establishment to show your paintings.
When I first came to this shop gallery, I was impressed with the fine art. Such a quaint, beautiful little place representing a beautiful life, of course. I thought, well, I could put my paintings in here. So I asked Elisa, and she said, okay, we'll set it up.
Well, I've loved walking around and looking at your work, now hanging at A Beautiful Life. Tell us a little bit about your journey into art.
After the Vietnam War, I came home and I was studying science. I no longer was able to do that. My mind was just too scattered. I started to study music in Washington, D.C., came back to California, studied classical guitar. I wasn't really talented in music. I went up to the Carmel Art Institute, where I enrolled and learned to paint. I began as a traditional painter, and I've made the journey all the way from traditional painting to conceptual art, which is how I paint now. My wife is Italian, and she's been wonderful to support me all these years, about 40 years now. She's become an artist herself in the crafts tradition, all along, I've also been writing poetry. The last couple of years, I published a book of poetry. It's called Bag of Tricks. Maria Phillips did the foreword to that. I'll read a short piece of poetry for you. Art fell into my life from an unknowable sky. Like a snowflake, it was unique, set to accumulate, melting daily into the light. There upon the ground, within the space of my surrounding, elements woven into time, with love etched upon the surface, later discovered as design, though by the hand of destiny, the meaning had a subtle rhyme.
I've noticed, looking at your work, that it's very inspired by the colors and atmospheres, architecture, foliage, land formations of particular places. You're quite a traveler.
Italy is just a special place. It has a magic and a unique culture. It's easy to see how humanity began our culture there. It's just the perfect environment, the temperature, the greenery. I was inspired by the many museums, the art that's in their life. They know how to live. They live in an artistic manner. They appreciate art deeply. I was inspired by all of that. The boats in the harbors, the seashore. I began to paint those subjects and turn them into abstract works of art. It took me a long way. As I went into abstraction, I became more and more interested in conceptual aspects of art. It led me to wonder who I am, what I am, who are we, where are we going? And I started painting conceptual art and changed from the tradition of painting what I see to what I think.
In your Santa Fe series, there's a strong sense of location and the light of a particular place, even though they have become quite abstract.
I love color. Color was always the inspiration for my art, and I always used color as strongly as I could. I was inspired by artists like Matisse or Diebenkorn, California painter, Thibault. It's always been my goal to use as much color as I can, and the trick is to get it to behave harmoniously because it's a little cantankerous and can be rather rude in how it works together in a painting. But used properly, it's wonderful. It lifts the spirit.
Well, your colors have a really deep spiritual glow. I think anyone who visits your exhibition is going to come away feeling nurtured. Thank you, Richard.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.